Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to again talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about the Sacred Purpose Trust, which is really how you set the table of the Lord. There's the table of the world, you know, the kings of the world, the fathers of the earth, that exercise authority. They'll lay out a table and they'll say, come eat. But we're supposed to put a knife to our throat if we, you know, because they serve deceitful meats and they'll snare us. And we were going through all the quotes in the Bible that tell us over and over and over again, Psalm 69:22, let their table become a snare. Table. How does a table become a snare? Are they making, you know, they're putting wire around it? Is it a trap? Their table, where you eat, where you get your free bread. Where you're supposed to pray for your bread? Your Father in heaven, not your father in Rome, or your father in Washington, D.C., or your father in London, or your mother in London, but from your Father in heaven. But you want to eat at the table of these men who exercise authority, and that's a snare. Set before them that which should have been for their welfare. Let it become a trap. And it does. And that's what's trapped you. The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. We've known that for thousands of years. They just don't teach you in your public schools. Oh my gosh. And they don't teach it to you in your church, because that would not be tickling your ear. You would not like to hear that. That might be kind of upsetting to say that, whoa, we're doing completely contrary to what God has said from the beginning. What Paul said in Romans 11:9. And David saith, quoting David, what we just read, let their table be made a snare, what should have been for their welfare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Because why are they eating at that table? Because they covet their neighbor's goods. They go against Christ. They go against God. They go against Moses. They go against Abraham. They go against Buddha, for gosh sakes. Holy smokes. And they do it in every country of the world now. My gosh, I've got my work cut out for me. But all I can do is tell you. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You got to decide whether you're going to make straight the way of the Lord. And you're going to need to gather together with others and start creating those relationships of love for one another. You've got to do that. You can't just, you know, I'm not telling you to send me the money. I can't set the whole table myself. I mean, we need your support, but that's between you and God. You need to gather in congregations of record, connect those congregations all across the country and around the world so that you care about one another as much as you care about yourself. Exodus 34:12. But instead, you didn't take heed, as it says, to thyself, lest thou make an agreement, a covenant, a contract with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. And that's exactly what you've done. The contract with America, except it wasn't with America. It was, in a way, it was. It was a contract, Social Security contract, Medicare contract. These are all contracts. And we've already shown you how they become your father. Now you got to do it their way. But if you change your spirit, your nature, and you can't do that on your own, but I can show you the path that you walk, and God will change you. And that path is you have to start taking care of one another as much and as much and as much as you possibly can. And stop looking to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You cannot do that without gathering together in intimate congregations and helping one another. That you have to do it that way. And also went into Psalms 106:36, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. How does an idol snare you? And what do they mean by serve? How do you serve an idol? You bow down and serve it. You work for it. You work 5% of your day for it, 10% of your day for it, 20% of your day. They take the value of that labor, and you have served that thing which you constructed. And you may have a statue that represents its authority. They did in Nimrod's time. In Psalms 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy presence. What was the snare? Offered them deals. Offered them benefits. They set the table. We'll give you free bread here. Just sign up. Sign here on the dotted line. We'll give you free bread. We'll give you a free EBT card. We'll take care of you. Don't worry about where the money comes from. We just take it from your neighbor. You don't really care about your neighbor, do you? Just take a bite out of your neighbor. When you take a bite out of that bread, when you spend money on that EBT card, you're taking a bite out of your neighbor. And now you're taking a bite out of your neighbor's children and grandchildren because they're born in debt because you just keep taking and taking and taking. You're taking. And in the government, you're taking. You got to stop taking first. You can't do that unless you come together. Psalms 124:7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Now, he's talking about them. You're not escaped. You're back in the net of the fowler. You're back snared again. You know, go read Proverbs 23:1. I'm not going to read the whole thing there, but in Proverbs 23:1, it says, when thou sittest and eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meats. Because why? They're going to snare you. You go read Proverbs 10, I think it is. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us all wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. How do you get that blood? That's part of that taking a bite out of one another. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. See, you're a living individual and they're taking a bite out of it. They're sucking the blood out of you. The vampires are running rampant. The whole of those that go down into the pit of what? This bondage. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. That's what they're up to. Goes on. My son, walk not thou in their ways. Refrain thy foot from their path. And he goes and he talks about the net being in the sight of the bird, spread in the sight of the bird. Surely in vain, the net. But no, it's not in vain. You guys didn't see this coming? What were your preachers doing? Telling you, yeah, it's okay to sign up for those benefits from those men who exercise authority. You believed the lie. You were already rejecting God. So that you could believe a lie. And you did it by creating this emotional, excitable... People talk about revivals back in the 20s. And those weren't revivals of Christ. Those were getting all excited and emotional so that you were more blind when they were setting up these systems where they said, let's all have one purse. And you were all swallowed up alive and brought back into the bondage of Egypt. Because you weren't really. And I still see it. It's easily tempting everybody. It's around. You know, appealing to the emotional state. And I'm afraid women are more susceptible. You men, you're just lazy. But a lot of times, many of the women are more susceptible to this like, you know, praise and all this love and all this kind of stuff, very emotional appeal. But you see it actually amongst a lot of men now, so it's not exclusive to one sex or another. And men are usually just, you know, bludgeoning around, but these guys, they sneak in, you know, and they tempt people away from the true spirituality of Christ. And they unmoor them with this emotional religion. And women are often more susceptible to it. I'm not going to say solely. That's not fair to women. Because I see men doing it too. You know, the guys going around slaying people in the spirit. It's mostly men I see them doing that. And of course, they're not really slaying anybody in the spirit. They're not preaching the gospel. That's an emotional thing too. It's very dangerous. I mean, you're opening up some really evil possibilities there. But anyway, so in Proverbs 22:20-26, rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debt. Now, those are all put together. Those are all put together. They talk about angry men and furious men. And you've seen speeches where guys are getting you all rabble-roused up. You know, like, we're going to stop this. And we are the best and we are the greatest. And then they're all this. And so men are susceptible to that speech. And they get all emotional in that way. And that's why you see mostly men in this slave the spirit guy runs around. I won't mention his name. Don't want to even mention his. I know there's several people who do that. But they go after men a lot of times in that. They'll do women too. But in this day and age, men and women are getting all mixed up, which is another whole story. And the reason why is they perverted the natural use. So a lot of times men don't know what it is to be a man, and a woman doesn't know what it is to be a woman. In a real world where you have to work as a family, women figure it out, men figure it out. But in a socialist state, the lines get blurred. And that's what you're seeing happen today. And everybody's very confused. And you're going to see more of that. And that opens up a door to hell. It opens up a door to wickedness. And it's very dangerous. So anyway, Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, this is the other situation, another paragraph, and when they say righteous are in authority or in multitude or increase, that's the actual word you have there. They say authority. It's not really the word for authority there, and I don't know why they translated it that way. The word that you see as authority there, 74 times it's translated multiply, 40 times it's translated increase, 29 times it's translated much, 28 times it's translated many, 12 times it's translated more, 8 times it's translated great or a form of great. So, I mean, you see this, but they put the word authority there. Unless we're talking about a democracy, that's not what we're talking about. The righteous are on the increase. Now, the only way to get the righteous on the increase is to create a system that depends on righteousness to function. People have to be righteous or the system doesn't work. You see, but they've created a system where you don't have to be righteous. Remember what we talked about? Removing the moral factor from their welfare system. They did it in New Zealand. They did it in the United States. They did it in Great Britain. And they also are providing the benefits not through free will offerings, not through charity, not through charitable institutions, but by forced offerings. You think that's going to change society? It's going to change the thinking of society, the nature of society? Here, that's your whole problem in a nutshell. Till you go back away from that, you're not going to be a free people. It's just not going to happen. Now, how do you get back to that? Should we elect some angry guy who's going to make it so? No. We're going to elect somebody and give him the power to turn everything back? No. Can't do that. You give him the power, it'll corrupt him, just like Saul. You personally have to repent and stop taking a bite out of your neighbor. That means stop taking the benefits. The world should have no complaint about that. You're not taking their benefits. You're saving them money. You're still paying in, but you're not taking. Wow, cool. And if you organize your church right, when you give to your church, that's actually deductible. You'll pay less money in. You may pay more money in the long run because you need some repentance there, recompense. You've been going the wrong way for a long time. I mean, it's almost been 100 years you've been going the wrong way. More than 50 years you've been complete socialist state. How in the heck do you figure you're going to turn around without a little extra sacrifice? This is going to require a little overtime, folks. But you personally have to repent, turn around, head back to your Father's house with the intention of taking care of the needy of your personal society, your congregations and congregations of congregations. Start doing what the church used to do all the time and move away from the benefactors who exercise authority so that you're less and less dependent upon them. They're going to be cutting off people anyway. So people say, well, I've paid in. I still want my benefits. And why should I keep paying in if I'm not applying for the benefits? They're going to stop giving you the benefits anyway. They're going to go totally bankrupt anyway. They're going to cut back. Inflation's cutting it out already. You're not going to get your cost of living increases. That's just the way it is. So why not start now learning what you're going to have to learn tomorrow, which is take care of one another. Christians started at the time of Christ. They actually started before that with John the Baptist, that voice of one crying in the wilderness. And so you should start right now too, so that when Jerusalem falls and you have to flee, you got someplace to go to. You have a network already created. When Rome collapses, all of the world collapses in an economic collapse, you've got somewhere to go. You know, if you guys were already, all the Christian churches in the United States were actually Christian churches using not regular banks, but like credit unions. When the economic turnback came and the crunch came, I don't think one single Christian would have had to lose their home. Not one single Christian would have had to lose their home. But since those Christians, aren't really doing what Christ said, and therefore are attracted and drawn to the table of those who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. When the big economic crunch came and people were losing their homes by the millions, the benefactors that exercise authority didn't help them out. They bailed out European banks and bought foreign paper. Why did they do that? Everybody thought that's $700 billion, whatever it was going to go to help you out. Are you kidding? Are you even paying attention? They said, oh, we want the money to only go to buying paper in American banks. And they said, if you put that stipulation in, we will not sign it. Had to go to buy paper in foreign banks, which was the whole point. I don't hardly know anybody got bailed out. Everybody, they got a postponement on some of their fines and fees. But I don't know anybody that their home was saved by that billions of dollars. That was to buy European and foreign paper, bad paper, so that those guys would take that money and bid on U.S. Treasury notes, so that somebody would still be buying them. And of course, That card's been played. So what's going to happen next? Well, I can tell you what should happen next is you should repent. You should join the network, join with others, and start being real Christians and stop playing church. That's what should be happening. And if you're not going to do that, there's nothing I can say that's going to help you. Because if you were doing that since 1933 or 1913, this would still be a free country. But, you know, those guys who say America is not a Christian nation, you're absolutely right. It's not a Christian nation. It has some Christian principles. And deep down, I think there are some people out there who would repent and become real Christians. Get baptized in the way of Christ. I think they're out there. But you're going to have to change your polity, your personal polity, your ways. You're going to have to turn around and go back the other way, the way of Christ. And there isn't much time to do it. And the only way to stop pretending, oh, well, the pastor's such a nice guy, and he's got a good heart. And let's get the whole gospel in there. You know, the definition of a lie is to remove part of the truth. If you're going to keep removing the part of the truth that says thou shalt not covet, and thou shalt love one another, and thou shalt practice pure religion unspotted by the world, if you're going to remove that, you got nothing. Where's your charity? Where's your righteousness? Where's the tending to the weightier matters? You can't keep skating in this watered-down Christianity. It's catching up on you. Millions have lost their homes. Millions have lost their life savings. Millions have actually lost their lives because you've given so much power to the men who exercise authority worldwide because you're not serving Christ. You're playing church. Let's stop that. Let's repent. Let's take a break. Let's come back in a minute and we'll talk a little bit more about some of these other things. We'll be right back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back. We were reading from Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. And we talk about that's one of the jobs of the preacher is to rebuke you so that you don't keep heading off the cliff. And it talks about the righteous are in a multitude, not in authority, but in a multitude. The people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. So he's giving you this analogy. The kings by judgment establish the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthrow it. He didn't say he that giveth gifts. He says he that receiveth gifts. See, that's you. You, the covetous. You're the one. You're the problem. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Now, just because you're singing, that don't make it you righteous. The righteous song is what we want to hear. The harmony of the righteous in harmony with Christ, in harmony with God. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. So, who is the cause of the poor? That means those people who really need help. You want to be there. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. They don't want to be bothered. Let them go to the benefactors or exercise authority. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, a civil structure into a snare. But wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Contendeth, it means work with. You should not be a part of that foolish system. You are, and it doesn't matter. You can go rebel against it, or you can conform to it. You're still not going to have any rest. What you need to do is conform to Christ. Because the vampires are everywhere. They're all taking a bite. The werewolves are everywhere. They're taking a bite out of each other. They're sucking the blood out of their neighbor. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. That's what you're dealing with. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. They hate us. If we do this, they'll hate us. They'll want to kick us out. They'll want to kill us too. That's where you need the miracle of God. So you can't fake this. This has got to be real charity. You got to work at this, really a lot. It's not going to be easy. That's why Christ said strive. That's why he said persevere. You know, it was a long walk back for the prodigal son. I bet he got really hungry along the way. A fool uttereth all his mind, but the wise man keepeth it until afterwards. If a ruler hearkeneth to lies, all his servants are wicked. That's where you're at. But I'm not going to tell you everything. You're going to have to start letting God write upon your heart. And the way to do that is start walking the walk. Gather with others with the intent of helping others. Not just anybody, but those who are also seeking the righteousness of God. But you have to have preachers that tell you. Now, you actually are being told now. Those of you who can hear what I say. And you're recognizing it. Some people said to me the other day, says, well, this seems so obvious. Why can't they see it? Obvious to you, not so obvious to them. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fish that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men, snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Now I know, that's why I keep going back and saying, I know there are many good out there who, if they hear the truth, they will walk this walk. And this is the test that is coming and is here now, that the sons of man are snared in an evil time. Whole worlds follow this way. Never before have we seen this in our history. But now we are at a time to repent. For as a snare, and it says in, let's read Isaiah 24:17. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitants of earth. Hell is empty. All the demons are here. They're working in the hearts of the people. This whole drug scene is very much a part of that. The whole no rules scene. Don't spank your kids. Now, I'll admit, every time you spank your kids, it's because you've already failed somewhere else. But never give up your right to do that. Any more than you should tell the police they can never use force anymore in the enforcement against criminals. Oh, you can't twist his arm. Oh, you can't use a gun. You're just going to have savages running wild. You know, your children need to be taught to respect the property of others, the rights of others. And if they're not going to do it when they're little, what makes you think they're going to do it when they're older? You must teach them. And if you're attentive, you'll never have to spank your children. But never tell them that. There may come a time when you do. But you do need to discipline your children. And if you discipline them with love, you probably never ever get to that point. But I see a lot of parents that just let their children run wild. They're not a parent in their child's life. But anyway, back to Luke 21:35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Just as we saw in Isaiah 24:17. And that's where we're at. Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to awaken you to the righteousness of God. So that you don't play church anymore. That you actually start turning around and heading back to your Father's house. 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I mean, if you're going to be ministering the gospel of the kingdom, teaching it, preaching it, it is going to take tremendous patience. It is going to draw whatever anger is in the bottom of your heart out. They will test and tempt you every day because they make it so you have to say it over and over again. And they don't do. They don't act. They aren't doers of the word. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You have to repent individually in order for it to open up that the Spirit can help you recover out of the snare of the devil. You can't do it of yourself. You can't fake repentance. If you're not really working and striving daily to take care of the needy of your congregations and congregations of congregations, giving freely, then don't expect God to bring His miracles and unsnare you from the chains of the devil, the adversary of Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:1, we say, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." You see that anywhere? Covetous? You see that anywhere? Boasters? Greatest nation in the world. Proud? Blasphemous? Disobedient to parents? Blasphemous. Oh, we don't want to have any laws, Ten Commandments, anywhere around. We want to remove that, separate that out. We don't want to have anything to do with that. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, without natural affection. Oh, they're affectionate, but what's about the natural affection? Truce breakers. Make an agreement, change the agreement. It's the old Darth Vader syndrome. Pray I do not change it further. False accusers, oh boy, you hear that all the time. That's actually a strategy. You know, if you can't beat them at an argument, accuse them of something else. You know, false accusers. Incontinent, not consistent. Wishy-washy. Fierce, you know, if they don't like what you're saying, they get all angry and spiteful. Despisers of those that are good. Oh, but goody-two-shoes there. You know, you hear that. Traitors, they betray you, stab you in the back, Judas Iscariot, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of good. Why do you think there's so many heavy people out there? They want to fill themselves rather than do what's right. They want to be lazy rather than do what's right. I don't want to pick on heavy people because skinny people can be just as wicked. As a matter of fact, often you find the pair of them together. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The power to do what? To pure religion. Take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Unspotted by the world. They don't think you can do that. They deny that God has the power to do that. Through you, through charity. Now, most people don't have the power to do it because they won't repent. And that's why the world is there. To punish them. By putting heavier and heavier burdens on them, which it does very, very well. From such turn away, it says, we're not to have anything to do with those people. We don't have to support them. Now, we may if we have contracts, but that's not where our charity should be going. You know, just handing $10 out the window to some guy at bum on the street. Is he one of those despisers? Accusers? Is he one of those devoid of natural affection? Blasphemers, disobedient to parents? Is he covetous? You're not to have anything to do with him. You're certainly not to give him $20 out the window of your car. You have to have wise charity. You don't have enough to go squandering it around to pretend, oh, well, I gave to that person, so therefore I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're a bad person. Probably didn't need it anyway. Now, there may be cases out there, but you need to be organized in your charity. And you need to be moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told us not to forsake the gathering together. And he goes on to say, you know, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Because he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Now, some of those silly women are men, effeminate men, so, which it talks about in another place. Ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Hundreds of hours of studying the ministry, and they don't understand that to pray to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority asking them for free bread that they provide by taking away from your neighbor is the opposite of what Christ said. And we need to repent of that. Something really bad. Really bad. I mean, it's terrible that we've come so far away from the righteousness of God. They were literally brought under the authority of others in matters of welfare and charity through their wantonness and covetous desire for benefits. Because the people have become naked without authority, they don't have the power anymore. They've given the power to somebody else who exercises a power over them and makes choices for them in almost every aspect of their lives. Because you did not know what real Christianity was, and you did not practice it, and you sat and ate with the rulers with huge appetite, and you changed the nature of your society. And when you changed the nature, a new spirit came in and made you blind, so that a strong delusion, modern Christianity, has been imposed upon even the righteous. All of them would have gone this way if it wasn't for the grace of God. And now, few men tell you, and you have to decide, am I going to head back to my father's house, or am I going to stay here feeding the pigs? Well, most of you are going to stay feeding the pigs. Many of you will come out at the last minute, but those of you who I recommend you start seeking the ways of God now. Through their system of Corban and debt, to free the people of God calls out a group of voluntary men to choose to become naked. Give up all authority. I won't take the benefit. I won't force you to pay in and provide for me and my family. I won't do it. And many of the men are saying they're not going to do it. And they're putting their lives and they're pledging their everything they have to do this. Like the Levites coming out of the city, the walled-in camp and the golden calf. The central bank. That's what it was, the central bank. And they're saying, we're going to walk by faith. Will you walk by faith with us and receive the blessings of God? Exodus 32:25. And when Moses saw the people were naked, that's what naked means, without authority. They'd given up their authority. They'd given it up to the golden calf, had authority over their wealth. The men who were ministering to that golden calf, that was their wealth in there. They'd given up their authority, and they were naked. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame amongst their enemies. What did he do? He made the golden calf because he knew the arts of the temple. He knew the arts of the Federal Reserve. He knew it. That's what they're talking about. I'm sorry if you thought it was something else, but that's what they're talking about. But the Levites came out. They didn't get to take their gold out of that golden calf. They came out to do the bidding of Moses, the same as the apostles came out to do the bidding of Christ. Now all we need is some ministers of Christ to come out to do again the ministry of Christ and to become the welfare of the people who live by seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. They came out with no property and owned all things in common. That's what we hear. Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, and that word is the word for property, he cannot be my disciple. And that doesn't mean you can't be a Christian. You can't be an ordained minister of Christ, because that's what he is calling you to do. I don't know about you particularly. Maybe you're just to be an altar of clay. But if you're to be that one of the stones of the altar, one of the ordained ministers of Christ's holy church, you need to do what the early church was doing. They were heirs in common, owned all things in common. To what? To provide pure religion for the people, bread from house to house, provided by the table of the Lord that was set by faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. This is how it works. I'm not making it up. They were not to covet or eat what was sacrificed to idols, to these other systems, and make agreements with unbelievers to pray to the fathers of the earth, of the men who called themselves benefactors but exercised authority for their daily bread. They weren't to get their daily bread from them. But many of you have, and many of you do. And many of you are dependent upon that, and you haven't created the system, the church, the real church of Christ, who sets the table of the Lord. But, so, how does this ministry work? These are the stones, these living stones, these ordained ministers. And we have several different, we show you how this works in the Old Testament with the singers and the ex officio ministers, etc. But Christ had many requirements for his ministers and many instructions for them. And if you disregard them, you disregard Christ. He talked about them selling all that they had, of not exercising authority, of feeding his sheep, and living in the world but not of the world. And we see all that in Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And these wealthy ministers who are pretending to be ministers, and they appeal to the ears of the wicked, and they tickle their ears. They can't. How are they going to serve the people so that the people don't have to go to the benefactors who exercise authority if they're living in million-dollar mansions? How did you let them get away with this? Why do you promote them? Why do you send them? Because you want your ears tickled. In Luke 14:27, he says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples." This prosperity gospel, just ridiculous. Luke, go on to verse 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath," again, there's that word, huperakunta, property, "he cannot be my disciple." In Luke 12:33, we also see, "Sell that ye have," uses that same word, huperakunta, property, "and give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth." You can't have that personal estate. You got to trust in God. And that's what we want to do, is make enclaves all over the country in places that will be safe. And the only way you're going to know that is by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't understand what we're talking about, and you don't want to walk that walk, you probably don't have the Holy Spirit telling you where it's safe. You won't know. And even if it is a safe place, it won't be safe for you. You have to repent. There's no fooling God. Luke 18:22. "Now when Jesus heard these things, he saith unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast." Now this isn't for everybody. This is for the ordained ministers, because this guy wanted... He already gave half of everything away. Now he wanted to do more. You want to do more? You want to become one of his disciples, one of his ordained ministers of the church, joint heirs, to do what? To serve his sheep, his people, the altars of clay. Then you have to meet his requirements. "Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have a treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And he says, you know, give up everything I own, all that my father is slave to. You have to love this more than what your father has provided for you. This is what they meant by, love not your inheritance with your home, love the inheritance with the Lord. Matthew 19:21, "Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast." What's the word there? Same word, property. "And give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And Mark 10:21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. He's telling these people this over and over and over again. But you still see multimillionaire preachers who, they're not doing that. They got all kinds of property. And they don't provide the table of the Lord. They send you to men who exercise authority one over the other if you have a need for a benefit. And you can go to Matthew 20, 25, Mark 10, 42, Luke 22, 25. And he says, don't be that way. But you're not listening to him. And your churches aren't preaching Christ. They're preaching the Pharisee system. The Corban of the Pharisee, the welfare of the Pharisees, set up by Herod. We had to become a member and you had to pay in. And now you have to pay in. You need to start learning the ways of the Lord and walk. I tell you, if you just start taking little steps in that direction, benefits can come from the strangest place. Just had somebody who was giving away something worth thousands of dollars. He actually paid it to, I won't give the details. He made a trade so that he could get access to a place where he could sell his wares. And he gave to this guy putting on this big, huge event something worth thousands of dollars so that he could get in there. And then they were going to give it away as a door prize. And they were in a huge state with millions and millions of people. Thousands of people came to this event. The only friend he had in that state won the prize. So even though he gave away this thousands of dollars, the one person he knows in the state, who didn't even want to enter his name when he came in the door, but they insisted upon it, and so he did, because he had no interest in winning the prize, but he wins the prize out of all the thousands of people. Now, I could give you all the details, and then you'd say, oh, miracle, miracle. The reality is, God can make you rich in a minute. God can make me rich in a minute. I couldn't stop him if he wanted to do it. And we actually always get by, but we can't feed you and practice pure religion to the extent we're going to need to do it in this country, in this world, unless the people start to give. I'm okay. I could do more if I had more to do with, but I'm content to do with what God gives me. God gives me a shovel, I go dig a hole. If God gives me somebody who needs help with plumbing, he gives me the means by which to do it. We're always hand to mouth. Been that way for decades. But, and we pick up the cross and we carry it. And it's hard. But it's not have anything to do with your salvation. That's between me and God. You have to pick up your cross. You have to decide to go. And those of you who don't want to pick up that cross as those ordained ministers, you have to help them set the table of the Lord for others. And their lack is your opportunity to bless them. And I tell you, I believe the Spirit is out there. It's just God is waiting in his time, and it will come. So anyway, we're at the end of another session, and we'll continue this next time on Keys of the Kingdom. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.